Let me say good morning to you. It's not nearly as bad as the forecast was saying. We're supposed to be wading through snow to our knees. But look at it, just like frosting on a cake. Very little snow. I'm sure that'll make some of you sad, and some of us glad. But anyway, let's turn, please, to the book of Ruth and to the chapter 3. We're starting a new section. Now, do remember one of the rules when reading your Bible, that when you come to the end of a chapter and then move on to another chapter, you're not moving into new territory or anything like that. Very often, the end of the one chapter and the beginning of the next chapter are very closely linked, and you should notice that. Otherwise, as you begin the new chapter, you might miss out in a right understanding of what is being related to you in God's Word. This chapter 3 begins with the word then, and that links it on to the last chapter. That links the events that you're about to read of in verse 1 to what happened in the last verse of the previous chapter. And so let's just read the last verse of the previous chapter, that is the last verse of chapter 2, and we'll get the context. So she, that's Ruth, kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of the barley harvest, and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now I told you that the barley harvest began during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which just came before the Passover. So that brings us back to, what, the middle of March, the end of March. And then immediately began the barley harvest. And it then was followed by the wheat harvest. And Ruth labored in the fields of Boaz through both those harvests. And I might give you a rough guide and suggest to you that the end of the wheat harvest probably was about the middle of June, somewhere about that time. So she spent all that time, from March to April to May to June, in the fields of Boaz, every day, apart from the Sabbath, of course, but every day she was there. And as I said on Tuesday, she would have been in the presence of Boaz most of the time. She would have been observing him, getting to know him, and he getting to know her. And this was all part of the wonderful providence of God. I think we have to understand that Ruth didn't fully understand what it was that lay ahead of her. She had been told that this man Boaz was near kinsman to her and to her mother-in-law, Naomi. But while that bit of information would have meant an awful lot to an Israelite, it probably didn't mean quite so much to Ruth, who, although saved and a genuine believer in Jehovah, she was still a Moabitess and would not have been brought up with all the teaching and instruction that a Jewish person would have received. So she would have been learning these things, I'm sure, as those months went past in which she was in the company of Boaz. And I believe in the providence of God, there was a working in her heart and a working in his heart, and there was a drawing of them together in affection as they got to know each other. I have no doubt that Ruth was a very attractive person, and I'm not just speaking physically, because listen to me, girls, there is more than physical attraction. You may look in the mirror and say, "Oh, what a wonderful looking person I am." But you might be a horrible person, because while the features are attractive, there's a heart and a character and a nature that's as twisted as a dog's hind leg. So just remember that. And boys, you remember that too, because that nice countenance might hide a dog's hind leg. And believe me, spending the rest of your life tied to a dog's hind leg is not particularly appetizing. So bear that in mind. There's more to attractiveness than mere physical appearance. Although I feel that Ruth would have been a nice-looking girl, but above all that, she had a wonderful heart and a wonderful spirit and a wonderful kindness about her. Oh, and that's worth more. Because what is up here will change as the years go by. Oh, I know people spend a lot of time trying to stop that change, and they sort of putty up the crack and paint over the blemishes, but it won't stop the change. Won't stop the change. But the kind heart and the sweet disposition, if anything, that will get even better. That will get better. And I'm sure that principally would have been the character of Ruth. And Boaz was having an opportunity of noticing this. And likewise, as she was looking at him, now he was a slightly older man. He was a few years older than her, but we'll discover that later on. And perhaps he might not have been looked at as a natural companion for a young woman. For although Ruth was a widow, she was a young widow, young woman. But as she looked at Boaz, she saw more than just his age. She saw a man of God. She saw a man upon whom there was stamped the likeness to the Lord Jesus. He was a good man, a gracious man, a kind man. He showed that every day, long before he really knew who Ruth was in any great detail, and long before he would have, I'm sure, had any growing feelings for her. He had shown that he was kind. You remember how he instructed the workers to leave out little handfuls of barley and then wheat for her to gather up? Shows he was a kind man. And Ruth very wisely took that into consideration as she was evaluating this man. So I believe there was a growing affection between them. The working of God in their hearts, I'm sure. Oh, listen, boys and girls. There is no greater architect, no greater architect of a lifelong relationship between a man and a woman than the Lord. If He is the one who arranges that union, then it will last, and it will be good, and it will be blessed. Bear that in mind. So, the chapter 3 begins then. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, the harvests are over now. That means that Ruth would be no longer going to the fields, and she would no longer be given the opportunity, as it were, of meeting with and being in the company of Boaz. So Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, saw it's time for something to happen. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the thrashing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put on thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Things are progressing. In the great providence of God, Boaz and Ruth have been brought together. As I have said, I have no doubt that there was springing up in their hearts an affection one for the other. Not for one moment would I believe that God would ordain a marriage between these two that was without love and without deep affection. So I believe there was an affection springing up between the two, an attracting of one to the other. And Naomi's interest is set forth here in the words My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Verse 1. She was thinking of the future of Ruth, and so she was anxious to do what she could, give guidance to Ruth as to how she could lay hold of the benefits of the kinsmanship of Boaz. There was a procedure, there was a way in which the benefits of the kinsmanship should be claimed. Ruth wouldn't have known that. She would not have understood just what it was she had to do. So here we have Naomi explaining how Ruth could claim help from Boaz. There's spiritual teaching here. Remember, we're looking at Boaz and we're seeing in him a picture of the Lord Jesus. And as we look at Ruth, we see in her a picture of the sinner coming to the Lord Jesus, entering into a wonderful relationship, an association, a union with him that's likened in the Bible unto marriage. So we see here a picture of how the sinner is brought to Christ, and being brought to him and being received by him, the sinner is saved. So there's instruction here for us as we look at this passage. I have to say to you that the interest of Naomi was in finding rest for Ruth. Now, we can, each one of us here who's saved, we can step into the shoes of Naomi. Why? Because it should be our desire, our purpose, to find rest for every one of our loved ones who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your task. That should be your interest. Naomi looked at Ruth and she saw here was a young widow woman. Naomi was advancing in years. She wouldn't be with her maybe for that long. And she was anxious about her. When I go, how will Ruth fare? She is, in the eyes of many, a stranger. How will it go with her? She was anxious about the future of Ruth. And so, knowing the means by which Ruth could be cared for and taken into union with Boaz and thus her future secured, Naomi said, I'll instruct Ruth, I'll teach Ruth, I'll show Ruth how she can claim that which God has provided for the likes of her in his word. You and I have to be like Naomi. We have to be those who will seek the rest, seek the comfort, seek the well-being, seek the security, seek the salvation of those around us who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the psalm we just sung, the Psalm 23? You remember the opening words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He gives me rest." Well, you see, that's what Naomi was wanting for Ruth. And she knew that for Ruth, rest would be found in her union with Boaz. And you and I should recognize that our loved ones, our friends, our families, they can never know rest until they are brought to Christ and saved. No matter what financial benefits they enter upon in life. And I hear mothers and fathers and friends speak of their friends and the wonderful success they're having in business. I remember throughout my life I've heard it said, maybe about relatives, "Oh, they're doing so well, they're doing so well. They've just set up their own business, they're prospering." And as this was being related to me, I could not stop myself saying, but are they saved? Are they saved? No, rest is not found in this world's possessions. Rest is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Naomi, we should be anxious for our loved ones And we should seek to bring them to Christ. Now they're going to need teaching. Ruth had to have explained to her what it is she had to do. How she could claim the rest that Naomi desired for her. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But do you know, sinners don't know how to come to Christ. They don't. They need help. They need instruction. The Ethiopian, as he sat in his chariot, was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And God brought to him Philip the evangelist. And Philip heard him read. And boys and girls, that's important to notice. He wasn't just reading Isaiah 53. He was reading it out loud. That's what it says. Philip heard him. Philip wasn't mind reading. He wasn't hearing his thoughts. He was hearing the words of his lips, because the man, earnest in his desire to understand the passage, was reading it out loud. That's always the best way to grasp the meaning of words that are before you on a page. Read them out loud. That increases your awareness of what these words are saying. And this man earnestly was reading out to himself the word of God. Philip heard him, and Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the man said, "How can I?" Now he was a high official in the government of Ethiopia. He was no dope, as we would say. He was a highly intelligent man. But he said, "How can I, except some man explain them to me?" And that's what every sinner needs. They need the word of God explained. The Philippian jailer came in haste and deep anxiety and concern of soul and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he said, "What must I do to be saved? I don't know. I know I need to be saved. I feel that. I sense my lost condition. But what am I to do? What have I to do?" Sinners need instruction. You, of all the people in the world, hold the key. You have the answer. Only you. That's why you are commanded by the Lord Jesus. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a missionary, but nevertheless, you are commanded by the Lord Jesus to witness. You are His witnesses. You are the light that's set on a hill. You are meant to shine, to instruct, to teach, just like Naomi. She says, "I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to do. How you can claim the blessing that God has for you in Boaz." Well, time's gone. We'll come back to the instructions that Ruth was given by Naomi next time we are together. Now, you can read the verses that we have just read, the 6 verses. And as you look at them, you can see the instructions. And there's the gospel there. You see if you can find it. You see if you can find it. The Lord bless you. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Your word, and we pray, bless it to our hearts. Oh God, bless the children. Oh, that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who are not saved, Lord, may they find the Savior. May they heed the instruction and come to Christ for salvation. For it is in Him alone that we will find rest. Bless the school today. Overshadow it. Protect it. Provide its every need. Strengthen teachers and encourage their hearts. And may the joy of God be the strength of all in this place for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.